When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates, and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
I mean, honestly, I don't even care who's out there. I'm looking forward to whooping their ass either way.
With your hosts, Dan Wiederer.
What's the reason to duck? It's here. There's no reason to duck.
And Mark Grody.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Hi there, and welcome into the Take the North podcast, along with Adam Stadzinski filling in for Dan Wiederer, who has committed to being sick. He's really sick. He's going to be okay. He will return. We have spoken to our guy, to our leader, but he's not with us at this point. Hopefully, he will be off the disabled list sometime next week. I am Mark Grody of Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, as you may be able to tell, or maybe not. I don't really have it as well positioned as Dan usually does with Soldier Field behind me. I am still at Soldier Field. That's where we're recording here after what was another Bears loss. Bears lose to the Detroit Lions to here at home, 34-17, the final score. That is 9 straight losses for the Bears. The Bears are 4-11. The Lions are now 13-2. And honestly, as I'm going through that right now, and I didn't know what kind of feeling I would have saying out loud 9 straight losses, I'm no longer affected by it. We all saw this coming. No, like seriously, like before, it's like it would be like I would spend the first 10 minutes going, my God, this is bad. I can't believe they've lost 5 in a row, 6 in a row. Set. I don't know at what point it got there. Maybe it was after 8 in a row. But as I see that L9 up there, I mean, we've basically been saying it for the last 4 weeks. Bears aren't going to win another game this year. They're just not, Studs.
It's going to be really hard to pick them. I think they, you know, maybe they get a Green Bay team that has their playoff spot locked in the last week of the season, and they get a bunch of backups and they find a way to win that game. Or, you know, look, Seattle could be vulnerable. Whatever. We'll see that. But yeah, I agree with you. It's funny that you say that because I was watching the game today at my cousin's house out in the suburbs. And so I'm watching the game with, you know, all my family's big Bears fans and my Uncle Joe, especially. Shout out to Uncle Joe.
Yeah, Uncle Joe.
And so it was funny. He said in like the first quarter, I can't remember when they were down 13-0 or 20-0. He's like, this doesn't even bother me anymore.
It's amazing.
He's just like, I'm just numb to this. I just want to see Caleb play well. And then we spent the rest of the game watching Caleb Williams play pretty well. And for the most part. So, yeah, you know, it's another loss. But I'm going to sit here and I'm gonna do this. I hate that we're doing this in 2024, like the same thing we were doing in 2022. This wasn't supposed to be this year. But I am declaring a moral victory. We got a good game from the quarterback, and he is the most important thing right now. and the rest of the team is going to limp to the finish line. But I continue to see good things from Caleb Williams. He played a lot better than he did last week, which I think is a net positive other than the result of the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's my headline. That I mean, we another first half disaster basically for the Bears, which has just been,
well, defensively especially.
Yeah.
Two turnovers.
They were a disaster, man. And I know they gave up the 82-yard play from Goff to Jameson Williams as well. Tyreek Stevenson in your picture, or maybe not in your picture, as it were. So, again, I mean, I'm just kind of skimming over that. We'll return to it a little bit. But, again, the first half sucked for the Bears. But to me, as I was walking into the locker room today to talk to players, to me, like, you're trying to think of what's the scoop, what's the storyline. And there are many, as you're going to hear from players and some of the questions, the variety of questions that I asked. But the headline is Caleb Williams, just like you said, man. I mean, Caleb Williams in the game, 26 of 40, 334 yards, two touchdowns, one to Keenan Allen, who was great. Cole Kmet also grabbing it, a short touchdown as well. In this game, and it should be pointed out, I mean, with the caveat, and you have to, because we're the ones that are watching these games closely, and people, I assume, listening and watching this podcast are too, must take into account the fact that you're playing catch-up ball, meaning they're going to throw a ton,
right?
Meaning they're going to be a little bit more lax, a little bit more prevent is Detroit. But that said, yes, Caleb Williams was encouraging, and this should put out. I was asked a couple of times. I know there were some debates around town, even at the score, or just at least questions asked about, do you shut Caleb Williams down? And I was, and still am, obviously. I've been proven correct. I'm an absolutely not. No, because let's just say that going into this game, you did that. The season, I would have graded it a disappointing season for Caleb Williams, a disappointing season,
right,
with obvious highlights that we can go through, individual plays, individual games, individual quarters, that at times you had the meter kind of hitting every once in a while an elite level. But you have to see it out. And so this really was very important in the overall, when we evaluate Caleb Williams, okay, you're back on track. You were not on track for the last few weeks. You are
100%.
Back on track, and there was just so much good in it. The fourth down conversions were awesome. The one of those, a 30-yard play to Roma Dunze on a fourth and one.
Right.
And you know, coincidentally, they were, what, 0 for 3 on fourth down last week and looked bad doing it. There was a fourth and seven play to Keenan Allen, which was truly desperation. First half, as bad as I said it was, there was a fourth and three 13-yarder to Roma Dunze. Those were awesome, elite. Like, you know what, Mark? Stop using the word elite. It's a dumb, frivolous word. Really good throws in really intense situations.
And, you know, I think that the most encouraging thing that we saw that we were wanting more of from Caleb Williams was throwing the 50-50 balls. So there was two balls today. I think you mentioned both of them. One to Roma Dunze and another to Keenan Allen, where it was just, I'm going to give my guy a chance. And yes.
We haven't seen enough of that this year.
And no, we haven't. And so that was really encouraging to see. And you know, the one to Rome was great. It's like, hey, I'm just gonna what Rome was known for at Washington was making those types of catches, contested catches. And Rome overall had a bad game. I'll give him a fumble and a half. The first fumble was on probably him and Caleb. The second one was purely on him. But he did come back and make some really nice catches. Keenan Allen, you mentioned that the other one, the other throw from Caleb I'm talking about here, is, again, going to give my guy a shot. Keenan Allen makes a great catch, but it was a 50-50 ball. And that's something we haven't gotten a lot of. The touchdown to Keenan Allen, too, was also really good because that was I guess you could call it a hole shot. And Caleb talked about after the game, like, you know, hey, I recognize they were going to be in a cover two. And he kind of got on the same page as Keenan, and Keenan ran a great route. And he just drilled it right in there, in the hole of the cover.
Yes.
That's where the hole is in the cover two defense, right between the corner and the safety coming over the top. It was a perfect pass right in stride in an as easy 45-yard touchdown pass as you're gonna get. So that was all very encouraging. And he, you know, look, some of it is a little stat padding, but this is something that have not been able to see from Bears quarterbacks in the last decade. When you're down in a game and you have to throw a lot, you should rack up stats. Look, Justin Fields couldn't do that. That's just a matter of fact. So the fact that you do have a guy that, hey, we need you to throw 40 times today because we need to try to play catch up, and he's not going to throw you out of the game. He did his damnedest to try to throw them back into the game, but wasn't happening today. But I mean, that still is something that, hey, you know, 340 yards is nothing to 334 yards after the sacks get taken off, I guess. But it's nothing to, you know, not it's nothing to like shove off. It's something. Mm-hmm. And so, and he's at this moment got the sixth most passing yards in a season by a Bears quarterback ever. He's at number six, and he's probably going to get it at the very least to number two. He's going to jump. It's Eric Kramer and then four Jay Cutler seasons and then Caleb right now.
Yeah, I mean, it shows you how bad it's been. But no, finally somebody is threatening to jump over the low bar. So,
that Eric Kramer record, it's not going to fall this year, but I think it's going to fall in the next 2 years.
And
he might get there. If he needs to average, I think, 270 yards or so in the next couple of games, and he would get there. But, I mean, we'll see. If he throws for 300 yards in the next two games each, he'll pass it for sure.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah. No, for sure, man. And it is the NFL. So, it, you know, people are saying, oh, like one good game and now everybody's back on board. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. That's the way the NFL works. And we mentioned the caveat, but it was real stuff out there. Like, they didn't make every throw, and they were bad early again in the first two. I mean, his first pass to Keenan Allen was inaccurate, threw it to the wrong side. But this wasn't just, again, Adam and I watched every bit of it. I am still here at Soldier Field. He made some really good, powerful throws in this game.
Right. Yeah. It's not a game that you're going to walk away from and feel worried about the quarterback. And it's funny because throughout the last week, as people talked more and more about, you know, how concerned should we be about Caleb Williams, I've been pretty steady. It's really hard, I think, in the midst of a season to keep the big picture in mind. And the big picture to me was, look, we've seen a lot of good from Caleb this season. We've seen him have bad games also. This, like, what we're watching is a rookie quarterback. And I think that that's what we have to keep in mind. There was always going to be, whether the team was having success or not, Caleb was going to have these ups and downs. You know, it's so, so rare to have a season that CJ Stroud had as a rookie where it's just all arrow pointing up for 14 straight games, basically.
right.
You know,
but
like, even CJ Stroud this year has shown you that he's far from perfect.
Sophomore
and
slump.
He's having a worse season than Caleb Williams right now. He's just got a better team around him.
I want to play a little Caleb Williams here, but I wanted to, before I do, what I want to say about that, like the idea of we can properly compartmentalize Caleb Williams, then we can all just maybe at the end of the season, and still depending on what happens in the two games, look back and say exactly what you said. And that is, yeah, that was what you call a pretty typical rookie season for any quarterback in the league. The problem the problem is, and I have to slow myself down too, and I try to be as measured as possible being around these guys all the time. There was that part, I don't care who you are, and I don't know, maybe Studs, maybe you're the one that didn't think this way. Although we all knew going into this season, you have to keep in mind that Caleb Williams is a rookie and everything that comes with it. I think a lot of us in the back of our heads were going, yeah, but you know what? I think Caleb's going to be different. And look at all the players he's got. He's the generational guy. He's the best prospect since Andrew Luck. So I think in the back of all of our heads, I think maybe the most rational-minded people, whether it's up in this press box with me or people listening to or watching this podcast, even the most rational people probably looked at it and said, you know, yeah, there might be something big this year from that rookie. But instead, he's had a rookie year, and I guess we all have to readjust the mental sight when it comes to that.
Yeah, I guess. And I think as far as, look, if we're grading him, and I know he doesn't want to, he holds himself to a higher standard. And the idea was, as you were kind of alluding to there, he's going to have a higher standard because of everything that went into who he was coming out of USC. And I understand that. But the reality is, I think we're going to look back on this season in May and go, when we're outside of the fog of war here, to use that kind of term, like that term, I guess, where we're
running an afternoon Cubs game, you know,
and you're going to look back and you go like, man, you know what? You're going to look back and you're going to see, and I know it's stats, you're going to think about, hey, you know what? The kid had a pretty good rookie season. And the reality is, he's going to come out of this season, unless something very strange happens, he's going to come out of this season with a lot more touchdown passes than interceptions, with one of the top three best passing yardage-wise seasons in the history of the Chicago Bears. Low bar, I know. But he's going to come out of this season, we're going to say, you know what? Yeah, that was a perfectly acceptable to above-average rookie season. The problem was, everything around him collapsed. And for him to have done even what he's done this year while all of this bullshit is happening around him, I think is impressive. And I think that shows a lot of mental fortitude. He hasn't gotten lost. He's managed to stick with it. Part of, I think, his success today was the pass protection was a lot better. And a lot of that, I'm sure, has to do with the fact that the Detroit Lions are just beat to hell at every layer of their defense.
But, and for a while, you had pretty close to your original offensive line, minus Matt Pryor. And you know, Nate Davis was supposed to be, but of course, Braxton Jones and Tevin Jenkins get injured in the game. Which
that's a bummer. Braxton Jones, especially, because it looks like he. I didn't hear. I don't believe Thomas Brown had an update. They probably don't know anyway. But I mean, that looks like a season ender. So
and did not see him in the locker room. I don't know. I mean, sometimes it's hard to gauge. I mean, it looked very dramatic, obviously, because it was a long injury and had to be carted off, and he was clearly in a lot of pain. But those are just the measures the NFL takes these days. So you never know. I've been shocked sometimes some of the injuries that I've seen, and then they're like, "Oh, he's day to day. He's going to be fine." But I think that would probably be my guess.
Well, it's still, I think either way, it's going to be, unless it was just, hey, a rolled ankle, a lot of initial pain, and he ends up fine, he's probably not going to play Thursday against the Seahawks.
Yeah, so, no, that's for sure. I mean, and then this guy is not that far removed from a concussion as well. So, I mean, he's kind of been banged up. So we'll see. But can we protect your guy?
Since we're on the subject, I think we should address also the fact that Karan Amagaji was inactive today.
Yeah.
I mean, for him to have gone, I don't know if I've ever seen a guy go from, in a backup role, I know, starting a game to a healthy scratch the next week.
Oh, yeah.
He played so poorly that they decided he lost not only his spot on the depth chart, his spot on the game day roster. And that goes back to, what the hell were you thinking starting him? Why, like, there's so many questions that I still have about why he became your backup left tackle. I understand Larry Borum, the last time we saw him in action, didn't look great, but I understand getting him reps in practice. I don't understand what he did to earn the backup left tackle job.
In hindsight, I agree with you now, because something was, they misevaluated something, and it's difficult. I get it. In practice, you don't have the full padded practices, so even coaches can probably be fooled into thinking somebody like Karan Amagaji might be ready. I think that there's a couple things in play here. I thought the idea, theoretically, starting Karan Amagaji at this point in the season where it's over and people understand the Bears are not making the playoffs and they suck and all of that, it's time to start to get a look at different things. So in theory, it's like, okay, and it's not like Larry Borum is some savior who's going to comport himself so well at a level that the quarterback is actually protected. That's not the case. So I did not have a problem with them trying to do it. What I had a problem with is the way Thomas Jones treated Amagaji out there, as in not giving him help. He wasn't completely bereft.
You mean Thomas Brown? Thomas Brown.
What did I say?
You said Thomas Jones. Not the former running back.
What did I say? Yeah. Well, at least I.
Hey, shout out to Thomas Jones.
Thomas Jones. At least it was a bear that I was incorrect with. Yeah. The way Thomas Brown used him, just he didn't give him enough help. It was poor coaching, and we're starting to see some of that. I mean, in this game, we saw, hey, look, it's Tyler Scott returning kicks. That's nice to see. Haven't seen that in a while. So it's that time of the season. Now, why they thought Karan Amagaji was going to be fine in that game, that's a serious issue. And absolutely, now it's about, is there anything to this guy? I haven't given up on Karan Amagaji, but he's had two really sort of bad, ain't ready for the NFL games this season.
Well, and yeah, that's not necessarily his fault. Like, I don't blame Karan Amagaji for a lot of this. His effort is clear.
Sure.
He's just not ready. And it goes back to the guy who drafted him and to there's no doubt in my mind. Coaches can say all they want. There's no doubt in my mind that Ryan Poles wanted him to get some playing time. And does that mean that he's the reason, Ryan Poles, that is the reason that Karan Amagaji became the backup left tackle? And at some point, I understand if you're these interim coaches, essentially at this point, look,
yes.
Yeah. You're not.
Yeah, they
be
might
here.
Be misevaluating, yeah, man. Like, yeah. I said, I mean, the full pads thing you got to take pretty seriously too. Like,
oh,
in terms
agree.
Of not knowing what's going on.
And well, at some point, nobody thought this guy's not ready. Like nobody saw that.
Yeah,
you could see that after one series last.
Yeah, week. Get him out of
one
there.
One series, he wasn't ready. Yeah, I tweeted this out after the sack fumble last week that he allowed. I was like, get him out of there.
Yeah,
like, he's not ready. He and I know that you normally you're going to give your starters a lot more rope than that, but like, look, get him out of there. Like,
yeah,
because he clearly was not ready, and he stayed not ready and looked horrible to the point that you had to make him inactive the next week. Like, that's somebody somewhere messed up. Like that is not something inside their structure got so messed up that they allowed a catastrophic failure to happen.
Yeah.
And now you're just trying to salvage him. And he might end up being a good player, right?
Yeah.
But and I'm not writing him off like you. I'm not writing him off at all. I don't blame, like, he didn't have a training camp. He was drafted
right.
hurt.
That's huge.
Like,
that's huge.
And so, yeah. You got to give him another year to see full off season, full training camp, hopefully. Right. He could end up being a starting player at some point, but he's so not ready. And
I mean, because
somebody had to have seen that.
Yeah. This season's been a fail for him because now he gets who knows what this does to his confidence, but I could tell seeing him in the locker room after last week's game, he was a little bit different. Like, you know, he's a very unassuming, quiet, super nice guy, but even just chit chatting with him, I could tell there was a different vibe about him, as in maybe he knew at that point that he was going to be inactive in the game. But it's changed just a little bit with him. So yeah, I mean, it's a miss. And you know, the Olin Kreutz was crushing me for saying this, but I kind of said it in a kind of a half-assed way, but it was like, at least the Bears recognized it, that not only can you not have him playing anymore or starting, you can't have him on the side. You can't even have him active. At least they weren't so stubborn because remember, they were walking a lockstep on this, you know, Ryan Poles. And at least they were like, okay, there's an error. We made an error. It's time to not put him in. And as a matter of fact, we'll take it a step further and deactivate him. So that is the Karan Amagaji story. I want to get to some of the audio here, Studs, because we got some good stuff from Caleb. And I'll take you into the locker room as well for this game and big picture stuff as well. But just continuing on the path earlier of I was right and everybody else was wrong in terms of you don't sit Caleb Williams because you're afraid he's going to get hurt. Or
I'm with you. That's a silly conversation.
It is. And I'm exaggerating a little bit. I'm just having fun with it. But Caleb Williams was talking about that very topic in terms of the value of these games, despite being what it is, a 9-game losing streak.
Yeah, every snap is valuable. There's so many different situations that happen throughout games that you can learn from and that I've learned from this year. And so, like earlier, you know, this game we went to empty, and it was the fourth down that we ended up going for it. Threw it to Keenan on third down. He ended up getting, you know, a good positive gain, enough for us to go for it. That's one that, you know, was pointed out to me in the game about, you know, just playing efficient football and playing and understanding, you know, the situation and understanding, not trying to make a big play when defenses are trying to drop out and things like that. So I think every snap for myself and for this team is valuable.
Yeah, I think some of the stuff too there towards the end of that quote where he's talking about understanding the situation and what the context is and what's good here and what's not good here. I think that's one of the underrated things of quarterbacks making it and not making it at times, allowing yourself to do what is called for. And I know that goes in lockstep with play calling as well, but I thought in general that Caleb Williams was on in that regard, getting the team what it needed, even a couple of times. We talked about the fourth down conversions. He just mentioned that fourth and seven to Keenan Allen, which was awesome. It just seemed like from, you know, just mapping out the game, he had it right for the most part. And I was going to say with his legs as well. Again, we saw some Houdini acts out of Caleb. He did take one bad sack in the game again, but for the most part, he had that magic elusivity going on in this one.
Yeah, and he ended up leading the team in rushing today, which, I mean, makes sense. They only ran the ball 17 total times, and they pretty much stopped running the ball in the second half because of the deficit. It makes sense. But, you know, yeah, he understands that some days this is not going to be the last game, even if the Bears make drastic improvements next year after that. There's going to be days where, look, man, our defense doesn't have it today. You got to throw the ball 45 times if we're going to have a chance. And he's shown that, okay, you can do that. And unfortunately it's happened too many times this year.
Yeah.
But, you know, for him to keep in that headspace of understanding, you know, okay, this is what we need today.
Right.
You know, some days we're only going to need to throw the ball 20 times. Our defense is playing awesome. We got a good run game going. Like his flexibility in that matter is he gets it. He gets that. Yeah. Every game is going to be a little bit different. Some days you're down 20 points and it's like, okay, here we go, kid.
Yeah.
Try to throw us back in this game.
Right. So, right. And this one felt better than some of the other, like the one I think of, I think it was the Indianapolis game where he threw like 50 times or something like that.
Yeah. And he, because he also had two interceptions.
Yeah. That one didn't feel good.
He did throw for 300 yards. He did throw for 300 yards.
He did. But
that felt different than even this did.
Very empty. Like, it was very empty.
This one, yeah. And yeah, this one felt a little more because, you know, the Lions were still, you know, while it was it was a 13-point deficit at halftime. So the Lions are not easing off the brakes at that point. Even up 17, or up 17, which they ended up getting up 17 or 20 again, up 20 again. They still, you know, third quarter, you're not tapping the Lions, certainly, are not tapping the brakes when you're up 20. So everything he was doing is still, like, within the confines of he's not facing a prevent defense, as they say. Like, they're running their defense the way that they want to because you don't want to give any NFL team any rope that early. And so maybe some of the fourth quarter stuff we can talk about, okay, maybe he gets to lose your defense. But yeah, I thought that, like, this was a pretty legitimate, for the most part, 300-yard game, in my opinion.
Yep, no doubt about it. And that first half, by the way, again, the Bears, and we'll get to the Bears defense, but they've just been, it's unbelievable. I mean, the first half, the score at the end of two quarters was Detroit 27 and the Bears 14. It's just been a sieve lately. And there is a breakdown with this defense that will not be overcome this year. Hasn't been overcome for a few games, really, since that Detroit game. Keenan Allen was very good today. Very good today. Nine
both
catches
on the field and on the mic. Is that what you're saying?
Brother. Yeah, okay, he was good on the mic. He was good. He was actually pretty hilarious on the mic. But okay. Nine catches, 141 yards, a touchdown, and then the 45-yard touchdown, which was fantastic. But so here's a little the beginning part is just, I mean, it's Keenan. He's a very confident man, as you will hear in this little back and forth with Keenan Allen.
Why were you so successful today?
Me.
You talked about putting good stuff on tape, which all players want to do. You still doing that in the name of being desirous of coming back here again? Are you trying to prove yourself to this team still?
Everybody. You just got to prove it to all 32 teams. You know, at the end of the day, that's what it's about. And, you know, the last name on your back is really what matters. So I ain't never going to quit. Just keep going.
Very confident man. Very. These are man.
He's earned that confidence. He's earned that confidence.
He has. Don't be fooled by him. Like DJ Moore, remember he came in all quiet and aw shucks and shy. And I'm a Carolina guy from Philly, man. We know how confident that guy is. And don't sleep on Rome either. I'm not even saying that's a bad thing. But no, Keenan had a great game today for sure. It was good to see. I do wonder. Wait, I'd like him back, honestly. Like, and I know like that's an easy change to make, and you need change, you know, because you don't have to bring him back. You would not be obligated to. It was rough early for Keenan. I know he's had some drops. I don't really think he's lost a step though in terms of his route running, his speed. You know, I'm sure that's down from what it was, you know, 10 years ago. But I think that there's a comfort there with Keenan Allen and Caleb Williams. And I'm not just saying that because of today. I think Keenan, I would like him back. What do you think, man?
So with Keenan, it's kind of two-sided. It would have to depend on how much it is. Cause I agree that I would like him back just cause I think there's still something left there, but the length of the contract and how much it is, like say it's a 1 or 2 year deal, it's got to be for significantly less money. He's making $23 million last year. That's 9% of the Bears cap hit. The Bears do have a good amount of cap space next year. As of right now, projected $81 million. I want almost all of that going towards the offensive and defensive line, though. So if you can get Keenan Allen back on the right kind of deal, fine. Otherwise, hey, man, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. Go get your money somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I mean, the theme, the best thing you said right there is the offensive and defensive lines. I mean, that's got to be a theme this offseason, is getting that right at all costs for sure. Another guy that I want you to hear from, because this is a little bit, this answer from Cole Kmet might surprise some people, because he was asked, like, I think, Adam, you and I, considering that it's the ninth straight loss and the Bears lost pretty handily again today, we've been as positive as we possibly can. And Cole Kmet was asked, you know, were there some good things to come out of this? Is some good things still happening despite having lost nine in a row? Take a listen to Cole Kmet.
I mean, I don't. I'm kind of done doing that. Yeah. You know, I've been through this now. You know, 2 years ago, it felt like, you know, you're trying to find positives through things. And, you know, it's hard for me to, like, be real with myself and find positive when you lose 34-17. So honestly,
maybe since the first time that you guys played Detroit, the first halves have just not been good. And again, today, a couple turnovers on an 82-yard play. Are you guys closer at all to figuring out what's going on in the first halves or first quarters of games?
I mean, hard for me to say we're closer. So the evidence points otherwise. So yeah, I mean, that's just kind of where we're at this point. And you know, we got to be able to finish this thing out. You know, hopefully guys come to work ready to roll here, and we got a quick turnaround on Thursday. And, you know, hopefully that everyone kind of take some onus on themselves to come in and just try and do what they can and put some really good stuff on tape here during the season.
The schedule just murder down the stretch. I mean, just everything.
Yeah, I mean, but it's the NFL. I mean, this is not a, you know, I mean, every team's tough. Like, you know, teams play it tough. And, you know, the difference between one team to the next really isn't that great. It's not like college football where, you know, Alabama's playing some team that they're paying a couple million bucks to come play. Like, you know, this is the NFL, and there's a lot of talent on a lot of these rosters, and the difference really isn't that big. But, yeah, it really comes down to your execution and the way you play your play style in the football game. And, you know, the way we're doing it right now is just not going to work.
But for full focus, or I should say full context on that, and people know this, but I will mention it again. Cole Kmet went through that 10-game losing streak 2 years ago, so he had to grind to probably post-games to, oh, yeah, well, this was good, and that was good, and what was good about the seventh straight loss? And so I kind of get it, man. It's like he's just the tank has run out on Cole Kmet, and I'm sure many others in that locker room as well, on trying to come up with something positive out of these losses. Even Caleb Williams was kind of, you know, I don't have all the audio, but I was there for his presser, and he too was conflicted at times. A lot of good, a lot of bad, and ultimately the team is 4-11 and they've lost 9 in a row, studs.
And look, I like that from Cole. That's how he should be talking after you get your ass kicked again and you've lost nine in a row in a season. Like, this is not, it's, we can sit here and we can talk about the good things to make ourselves feel better. We're not on the team, you know? Like, this is, we're not getting paid by the Bears to go out there and play. We're the outsiders. We're just like, okay, like, hey, this was good. This was good. Cool. All right. We can keep the big picture focused. They shouldn't be. And it's good that Cole recognizes, yeah, this is not 2022 where our roster was ripped down and we were essentially designed to lose. It's fine to look for positives when in a season that you had no expectations you know. So that's all well and good, but when in a season like this, this was not supposed to be like this. You're not supposed to be losing nine games in a row this year.
What a nightmare. And it's starting to hit me the other way now. I've lost my calm. I can't believe they're 4-11 and they lost nine in a row. Oh my God.
This is up there with the most catastrophic Bears seasons and that you're ever going to see. Because, you know, the 2022 things, everyone knew they weren't designed to win, and it was all about the draft pick, and do they have the quarterback in Justin Fields? Turned out they didn't, but, you know, they accomplished their goal, which was to get the number one overall pick in the draft, and that's partly what led us to here with the season of expectations and a bunch of missteps, whether by your now fired head coach or your GM, who is probably, I think he's probably going to be back. I believe Kevin Warren, we said he's going to remain the general manager. But look, if they lose out the season and you lose 11 games in a row, there's going to be a conversation by us, should be a conversation in House Hall about, is the GM going to keep his job?
Right.
And it would be like, you can make a case for on both sides to keep him and to fire him. So if you're Kevin Warren, you know, look at all that. And if you're Ryan Poles, and I listening to the Scores post-game show a little bit, Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley touched on this. Like, if you're Ryan Poles, you need to evaluate yourself. How did you get here? How did this team get here like this? Like your decision to keep Matt Eberflus was a horrible decision in retrospect. What led you to that decision?
Right. Like,
That singular decision probably cost you a lot of wins this year.
Mm-hmm. Yep, because he hired the offense coordinator.
Yes,
and
yes. So like, there's a trickle down effect there. So
big time.
I don't want to get fully into the Ryan Poles thing now, but like, that's just you know, when you're it goes up from Cole Kmet.
We've been doing a lot of those shows. We've actually kind of done them, but many, as we've been reflecting here, many defensive sins on this day as well. There was the Jared Goff 82 yards to Jameson Williams. It sure looked like, seeing it out here, that that's Tyreek Stevenson's guy. I know Jonathan Owens was in your picture as well on that particular one. You had the play that Kevin Byard, and I still don't know what happened on that first drive. There was a 28-yard play to Amon-Ra St. Brown that set it up pretty for Detroit. And I just bring that one up because there was just nobody in the picture except for Kevin Byard. So, and he just referenced communication issues, but did talk to Kevin Byard beyond that. And he was asked a question about where the team is with effort and focus.
Effort's there. The focus, I mean, it's what you put on tape, so.
Are you saying, like, some guys, it's man-to-man? Like, some guys are focused, some guys are not. Some guys are putting good stuff on tape, some guys are not at this point?
Yeah, just consistency. Like you said, there's some good plays in there for sure. It's just not enough of them, and there's more bad plays than good. So, like I said, that's what's on tape. That's our resume.
Yeah, you know, I don't know exactly how I read that because, I mean, it sounds like I'm, like, in hearing that, like, my reaction is, okay, it sounds like, you know, that's his way of saying there's some guys that aren't doing their part or maybe have taken their foot off of the gas pedal a little bit, but I'm not throwing that out there because I don't know. I mean, I should have probably followed up a little bit more because I don't know if that's what, I mean, I did follow up, but I still am not sure what to infer from that other, but he was pretty concise. And he mentioned that like a couple times throughout the interview that this is what you're putting on tape out there. And I don't know if that was his nice way of saying that some guys aren't really going out of their way to put good stuff on tape at this point.
I think that there's been points where you can point to players and say, yeah, you know, probably didn't give the best effort on this play or that play. Largely, I think the effort, I agree, I think the effort's there. The focus is another thing.
Yeah. There is a distinction.
Yeah, the focus is something else. I mean, look, like the play you mentioned to Amon-Ra St. Brown. I mean, that's a breakdown. It's somebody obviously didn't have their assignment correct. That's a communication thing where what week is this? Week 16? That shouldn't be happening. I know there's a new play caller and everything for the defense, but it's the same defense and he's using the same verbiage. And you're using the same words on the field to communicate. so that shouldn't be happening. And, you know, it's I would assume that it probably wasn't Kevin Byard that messed up on that play.
Yeah.
That's just my guess because he's right. A former All-Pro. Like, he probably knew what he was doing. I mean, we don't know. But I would guess that if you got him off mic and asked who messed up on that play, it wouldn't be him.
That's why he was like nice about it and saying communication issue. I got a feeling if we're in there and we are talking to Kevin Byard and it was his fault, he probably would have just said, yeah, that one was on me. And I did not
know. Yeah, he probably would have said, yeah.
Yeah, right. And
he probably would have owned up to it. And so, yeah.
I think you're right. I'm trying to think if there's anything else from this other than we mentioned the Tyler Scott thing that was new and different, returning kicks tonight. Another, you know, as I was talking about with Cole Kmet, schedule has been a bitch as of late. But he's right. All teams have to deal with this. We're in our Bears bubble, so we notice it. But here we go. Another weird short week. The Bears will be right back here at Soldier Field on Thursday night against the 8-6 Seattle. Actually, as I'm saying that, I don't know. They play today? I don't even know.
Seattle's playing right now. Actually.
They're playing right now. Okay.
They're down 20-17 with 5 minutes left against the Vikings.
Okay. And they are right now, that is factual, as we record this on a Sunday, they are 8-6. So this ain't a bad team. I know everybody's kind of, even you alluded to it. Everybody's kind of, well, maybe they can beat Seattle. Probably not. But, you know, they seem
based
a little
on what
more,
we've seen, probably.
Based
not.
On what but, we've seen. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah,
there's always a chance.
The division, like the best teams in the NFL, are in the NFC North, so it is a nice break to be venturing to the NFC West in this case. And what a wild, that's another thing that sucks about this season for the Bears. But they go down, they lose their ninth straight game, 34-17. Studs, anything else before we get out of here, my brother?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
How about just warm wishes for Dan Wiederer? And we
warm
think
wish,
about
yeah.
saltines and soups and whatever, a bucket maybe, something like that for Dan just to take.
Hopefully he's on the mend and we'll have him back on the active roster for Thursday.
He's our leader, man. Yeah. We got to have you, Weedsy. But Stud, you did, as always, a great job stepping in, man. You are a big part of the Take the North podcast, and I mean that, and we appreciate you, my brother.
Thank you. So
that is Adam Studzinski. He also is the executive producer of the very successful Bernstein and Harris show, which you can hear 5 days a week, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on 670. The Score. So for Adam, for Dan Wiederer, I am Mark Grody. Thank you for listening to and watching the Take the North podcast.
Party on, Wayne.
Thank you, everybody. The Bears.